Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It wasn't the 50 burger that we got served in 2014.
I think this music is apropos. When the levee breaks, yeah, I think the levee is broken.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's been broken.
Yeah.
It's been broken with this team for a long time. It goes back before even Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, but they're going to have to pay here shortly.
That could have been a 50 burger if the Packers wanted to keep pushing.
Yeah, it got uglier, and I don't know why I refused to believe Waddle or believed going into that game that it would be ugly, that it would be 27-3 ugly, that it would be 41-10 ugly, and then they ended up scoring 25 as they normally do in garbage time.
You get some good stats on that, don't you?
Yeah, later in the show. I mean, that's when Trubisky and this Bears offense do their best work. Yeah,
as soon as they're down 20, they got you right where they want you.
They got you right where they want you.
Yeah.
And, Matt Nagy was fired up today on his press conference. Right, but it's the same mumbo jumbo. It's the same word salad. He was telling everyone how they broke down the huddle 2 weeks ago, going into the bye week, how that accountability would help them out. Yet they're looking up at a 27-3 deficit, Lambeau Field on national TV. But we said it, Waddle, if they're going to be bad and if they want to waste our time and they refuse to be good, And they're going to come out, you might as well embarrass yourself on national TV. And they did serve up, while not a 50 burger,
a 40 burger.
They served up another crap sandwich to all of us.
Yeah, listen, you know, I'm call me silly, call me crazy, call me whatever. I can't sit around on my couch and I can't ever find myself cheering against my team. I just can't. Like, that may sound dumb, because truly the best path to significant change is being embarrassed on national television, oh, by the way, at Lambeau Field. Like, I truly believe that the McCaskey family looks at games against the Packers differently, whether you think that's, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. And to get beat in embarrassing fashion by the Packers, I think, stings more for the ownership group than it is if you get beat convincingly by the Vikings or the Lions or somebody else in the league. I just think that performance against the Green Bay Packers is more meaningful to them. I may be crazy, but that's the way I feel.
3-18 now in their last 21 games against the Packers. And again, it goes back even farther. This is, you know, the team president, as you hear the promos played just before we were on, you know, they have won three total playoff games in the last two decades plus under his watch.
You were talking about your ass in that promo, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I was. And you know, I'm sure there will be a time in the show where I'll get fired up, but we've been preaching this since they were really 5-1, and people kept calling and saying, let us enjoy our victory Monday. And maybe that was just because you knew they weren't going to be coming fast and furious in the second half of the season anyway.
We did the work. I think you were off the day when I don't remember. We called somebody, didn't we, Black? And we asked, because they were 5-1 at the time, and I believe they were 27th in the league in offense. And we had somebody check in to, had there ever been a team that started the season 5-1 and was the 27th or worst offense over that period of time? And the answer was no. So, like, the signs were there for all of us to enjoy the 5-1 record, but be skeptical as hell that it was going to be able to be sustained. We told you at the time, did we not? This is the worst 5-1 football team possibly in the history of the National Football League.
And we just didn't like what we saw. We did not like in Carolina what we saw. We did not like that the offensive coordinator who brought in all of his guys and brought in his quarterback, what they were giving us as far as the offense was concerned to do some work in this league, in a league that where the NFC, and we continue to see it with Tampa and some of these other teams where they are so flawed, the Cardinals, they are all so flawed. There are so many flawed teams. Yeah. And like you've always said, if you could just be average offensively. Now, the defense, after all this talking about Eddie Jackson telling everyone to be accountable, going into the bye week and not to hang your head, no one wanted to tackle anybody. And I don't care how much work you've done over the last 3 years. If you are truly a great defense, I know you're going to be frustrated. I know you're going to be pissed at the offense, but you cannot be bad like that. You can't be embarrassingly bad like that. You can't be embarrassingly soft on the goal line against Jamal Williams near the end of the third quarter where no one wants to tackle him, Eddie Jackson. You can't be the guy breaking down the huddle, telling everyone going into the bye week, guys, we got to be more accountable. I'm your leader. I'm right here. And then not even three quarters after that breakdown of the huddle going into the bye week, you're avoiding contact with Jamal Williams. I know you're frustrated. I know this, that you've carried the team. I know the Bears offense is woefully bad. But you just can't acquit yourself coming out of a bye like that,
yeah, that was,
with this defense.
It was awful. And listen, we all know how important Akeem Hicks is, but that's the essence of coaching again, is when you're missing key components or you're faced with a little bit of adversity, what adjustments do you make? And what do you do to help and try to be as productive and as efficient as possible, minus the important cog in your whole system? And you saw, like, for whatever reason, we can use Akeem Hicks's absence as a, you know, as an easy excuse, but you've got to have an answer for being better than that.
Every trip down the field, it was just like a video game. And I knew that, look, the Packers are great. If you've watched the Packers at all, if you have any of their skill guys, and you should, in fantasy football, you know what they do at the start of football games, no matter who they play.
They
go down the field and they score. They take their first 15 plays and Aaron Rodgers performs them perfectly, and they go down the field and score. Now they're
flawed.
Show
them right in your can.
Yeah. They're flawed, and they don't do that all game. They score 30 a game, but they haven't been perfect. They haven't been good running the football this year. They got better yesterday, that's for sure, without Akeem Hicks out there. But one thing you did know is they would probably go down the field and they would score. Now, how are you going to adjust? And we know this Bears team just doesn't adjust. They don't adjust. You can have a 27-3 bad first half, 27-10 at the half, I think they went in. And then you come out again with that football. You deferred because you want that football so badly to start the third quarter where you've only scored 7 points all year. Let's give Aaron Rodgers the football because that's what the analytics say. Because that's what football says. We defer because we want the double dip. We want it in the third quarter even though we've scored 7 points all third quarter. And even though the Packers take it every first possession and they march it down the field and they score on every team. But that's okay. We'll take it in the third quarter. We don't want the opening kickoff. And so they're down 27-10, and it's time again to go into the locker room, and it's time to adjust, and they're the only team in football who could be this crappy, and the crappy gets crappier. I don't know how they do it. It's a feat. It's amazing. Matt Nagy looks at his coaches, and he says, guys, we've been so crappy, let's get crappier.
Let's
how
get
do
crappy.
We do it?
It sounds like a dance song.
Bears on three. One, two, three, Bears.
Crappy.
They get outscored. What did they get outscored in the third quarter? 14-0? Was it 10-0?
14-0, and then they hit cruise control. Look, these are all major problems that there's no solution for. We've talked ad nauseum about the inefficiencies of their offense. Going back to week 11 of the 2018 season, it's been a disaster. Collectively, it's been a disaster. That's not a bump. That's not a blip. That's not a valley. That's who they've been. And their inability to play well coming off of a bye or an extended period of time, that's not a blip, that's not a bump, that's not a valley. That's who they are.
Right.
And those are really disturbing problems that don't have a solution, obviously.
Right. They're all a bunch of guys, and this is the root of the Bears' problem. They're all a bunch of guys who don't have solutions now. Matt Nagy yesterday in his press conference is talking about soul-searching. Dude, you got off 2 weeks of soul searching at the bye week.
Yeah.
Now you're telling us you need to do some soul searching after that game in Green Bay off the bye week. He changed coaches. He's changed quarterbacks. He's changed play callers. Matt Nagy, I like you. You're a nice guy. You have no answers.
None.
You must go. Ryan Pace, you've got good hair. You have a good story out of Eastern Illinois. You've had 6 years. You've tried at quarterback. You've tried, I think, to build an offense. You have no solutions. You have none. You started with drafting Kevin White instead of building the offensive line. You took Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Who, by the way, is on a heater that's hotter than what Mahomes is dealing right now.
It's crazy. They threw for a combined 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, the two of them this weekend. You know, you decided to go with Cole Kmet over Chase Claypool. We've given you 6 years. You've got no answers, Ryan Pace. You can be my neighbor. You're a nice guy with good hair. You can't be my general manager anymore. And Ted Phillips, you can go and you can take over for Michael McCaskey. And at one time, we celebrated that because Michael McCaskey was the worst of the worst. He had no clue how to run a football team. And with Ted running it, at least it looked like we had a new set of eyes. We built a new stadium. We had a new general manager after not having a GM for 15 years. But when you go and after you fire Lovey and you hire Phil Emery and you go and you miss on so many different things and there are no checks and balances in that building anymore and you're sub 500 since being the team president for over 2 decades and you have 3 playoff wins under your watch as the team president, you have no solutions. So when your president doesn't have a solution, when your general manager doesn't have a solution, and when your coach doesn't have a solution, you must clean house.
Houston, and we have an issue.
And as soon as George figures that out, and God bless Virginia McCaskey, she's sitting there wasting a Sunday evening when she should be drinking tea in her beautiful mansion in Lake Forest if she lives there.
She does, and she lives in the same house that all the kids grew up in back in the day. Like, she's a very modest, you know, woman, despite their enormous wealth. She's salt of the earth. She's fantastic. And I share your feelings that it's hard to watch.
They wasted 8 hours of her day driving to and from Green Bay, sitting during COVID of a 90-some-year-old person in that suite. She's wasted her time. God bless Virginia McCaskey. George, you want to win. You don't know how. Figure it out. Get a new team president. Consult with every sports person you know. John McDonough, Theo Epstein, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do whatever it takes to surround yourself with better people. There are no answers up there at Halas Hall. There are none with the football decision makers. They are nice guys, but from the quarterback to the coach to the general manager to the team president, it is a building without an answer. And George has to come up with the solution now, or else we're going to continue to sing. Like you, Waddle, you tweeted it out. It is Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah. I focus on the coaching and I'm so disappointed in what I've seen from that group. Again, coaching's about making adjustments, and it's about facing adversity and finding a solution. Like, and you look at the defense, and again, they were awful last night. But, you know, the Colts, the number one defense in the league, gave up 45 points to the Titans. It happens. Over the course of time, that defense, you've won more than you've lost. So I'm not going to sit and spend a ton of time drilling the defense. They were awful last night, but over the last 2.5 years, they've been a playoff-caliber defense. 18, they were fabulous. Last year, they were top 5. This year, they haven't been as dominant. But they've had a good run. So last night was a disaster, but inside that defensive plan, when you're missing Akeem Hicks, it can't mean then you just collapse as good a player as he is. You have to find a way to adjust. They absolutely focused on running the ball right where Akeem was not last night. And offensively, once again, you know that the quarterback that you run out there is limited. And yet you try to get into a shootout with a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and you pointed out in our text chain many decisions, too, that were silly coaching, silly decision-making by the quarterback. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Waddle will spell that out. But this is big picture, whatever you want. You want to zoom in, you want to talk about yesterday's game, be our guest. You want to talk about the quarterbacks, be our guest. But if you want to get after the big picture, I really, truly believe that is where the solution is, where it remains. And if you ignore that, then the solution will never return here to Chicago. 332-3776. We'll get to all of your Bears phone calls coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
The charter franchise of the National Football League, this should not be our lot in life. We should not have to accept it. We shouldn't just shrug our arms and say, well, it's Chicago, we got to run the ball and play defense. We should have a good offense. We should have a great quarterback. It's been far too long. It's the same old story. Waddle tweeted the Groundhog Day gif earlier. Yesterday, someone I respect, one of our listeners, tweeted me and said, like, he's watched this same game for 30 years. It's the same thing. They've got the quarterback. We don't. They've got the answers. We don't. You know, we'll flare up every now and then and we'll win and have a great 12-4 year. And then there are just no more answers. And it's what scares me the most, Waddle, about heading into the offseason is what I basically said to open the show is I don't want to fire guys. I am not cold hearted. I like Ryan. I like Matt a lot. I think they're nice people.
They like to hold your kids at training camp.
Yeah, Ted's been very nice to me since I...
Oh. Did someone up at Halas Hall cut Sylvie's mic?
McCaffrey's have cut Sylvie's mic.
Ted Phillips was the key word.
Yeah, he was calling for a significant change.
That'll happen, man.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
That does happen.
Key word, Ted Phillips. Remember that, guys.
Don't say Ted Phillips out loud.
And then he was just gone.
If you say Ted Phillips,
he was there, and then he was gone.
Ted Phillips three times. He'll appear.
The Candyman? Is that what you're?
No, it's Beetle. He's Beetlejuice.
He's Beetlejuice.
Oh, Beetlejuice. What's the Candyman?
The Candyman. Isn't Candyman the same thing?
I don't think I saw that movie.
Isn't there a mirror involved in that?
Is that a scary movie? Is that a horror movie?
Yeah.
I'm not a horror movie guy. I hate all horror movies.
They're remaking it.
That's why it's hard to watch Bears games.
When more films are released, it'll come out.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't want to
watch that. In 2021.
If you say Ted Phillips three times, he'll come to wherever you are and make sure you work there for life.
I was going to say, listen, there have been rumors, right, that the Bears may potentially want to be investors or purchase the land where Arlington Park is and maybe own their own stadium down there. Wasn't that a rumor? I think Brian Hanley was the first person, I think, that brought that to our attention a while ago, right?
They're not selling.
No, no, no.
They're not selling.
No, no, no. I'm not saying they sell the team, that they would buy the area and build their own stadium.
Yeah, they're more invested, if anything.
Why can't Ted spearhead all of that? He's in charge of, you know, let him be in charge of making the cash register ring. That's why, I mean, listen, you could, there's some, you don't have to send Ted packing, you just, his job description changes. That's what I think you do. But like, listen, there's a lot that's being said right now by the coach, whether it's through the broadcast last night or today in, you know, Zoom meetings where he showed his frustration. And it's just, it's all very taxing and confusing.
Waddle, can you explain this to me? I know you made note of this, but out of halftime, this is the report from Matt Nagy. Can you explain this to us?
Well, Mike, I talked to Matt Nagy at halftime, and he said he was not... He was fine with the interception by Mitch Trubisky, but of course he said we knew we were taking a shot on that. He said the time of possession is a big issue in this game. They've got to keep the defense off the field and keep Aaron Rodgers from driving. It was, I don't know what it was, but it was a lot to a little.
They were fine
with
the interception.
First of all, you can't be fine with throwing a pick when you're also worried about not having the ball enough and your defense is starting to get tired. Like, there's no excuse for the coach saying, yeah, we're fine with that pick. No, you're not. No, you're not. Your possessions are oh so valuable, especially against a team that is as high scoring as the Green Bay Packers. And under no circumstances should your quarterback take a shot just to take a shot, throwing the ball into double coverage. You want to take a shot down the field when a receiver is single covered, take your shot. And if the defensive back makes an interception, then those guys get paid as well. You tip your cap. But to just write off as, yeah, we knew we were going to take a shot in that circumstance and we're okay with the interception. You can never be okay watching your quarterback make a crappy read and a crappy throw. Like, to accept that is just accepting defeat. And then to couple that with, yeah, we have a problem with time of possession and our defense is getting tired. It makes no damn sense. It doesn't make any sense. What's in the box?
Not like, the Bears' offense.
I mean, it's crazy. That wasn't the only thing. I mean, there were so many things said between... I mean, like, Mitch had his best week of practice in 2.5. Save it! Like, why are you even offering that?
It's silly.
I mean, like, that's a comment, really. Like, you should be, at this point, and this is your third year as the head coach of this team, that's something you just, you swallow that. You don't, share it. It can only come back and bite you in the ass.
Isn't it just like going into the bye after you just got whipped saying, hey, you know, we broke down the huddle well.
Yeah, by the way, don't say Ted Phillips' name again, or otherwise you're going to get cut off.
Yeah, do you think that's, he's got some control?
I think he does. I think he does. I think he's tired of hearing you telling him he needs to go away.
I thought you just got tired of me ranting.
No.
I thought you were silent. I wasn't there anymore.
I was selling the guys a solution for Ted. Like, you don't have to tell Ted he's no longer employed by the Bears. Let him go over on the business side.
Sure.
And let him be the one that spearheads the purchasing of Arlington Park and building a brand new stadium.
Crane Kenny, you can do that.
Yeah,
you
I heard let him Carmen the Good Kid talking about this earlier today. That's a perfect project.
Again, I think you could consult with so many people. How's Tony Dungy? Like, talk. George needs to do that himself. When Ricketts didn't know anything about baseball, who'd he turn to? He turned to the Red Sox because they were a similar team. And he actually took their guy then in Theo. But he at least recognized he built Wrigley like Fenway. He hired Theo like the Red Sox did. Go to the Steelers. Why does that family-run business understand how to do things? Why do they have continuity? Why have they gotten quarterbacks? Why have they gotten Super Bowls? Go to them. Talk to them. Teams will help you. This is a country club. I heard Kerman say the other day, why would another team help you? Because they're all rich, and that's what rich people do. They sit around the country club, and they love to tell each other how they made their money. So sit down with the Rooneys and figure it out. Talk to Theo. Theo, I know this isn't your sport. You're not doing anything. Can you just talk to people you know? Give me a list of guys who you think would be good at running my team. I'm not asking you to have Theo run the Bears, but if there's a guy, instead of going to Ernie Accorsi, who's out to pasture, 10 years retired, go to Theo, a forward-thinking guy. What's wrong with my team? Do I not have enough scouts? Are we not hip enough on today's technology? Who are the guys I need to talk to? Talk to John McDonough. How did it happen with the Blackhawks? All these guys, get information. The more information you get that you surround yourself with, only better for you, George. But the way of doing business hasn't gotten you anywhere. And Chris, it's just time to advance.
Chris, do you have any more weird comments from the and I'm not blaming the broadcasters, but that as they were relaying
Did
weird
we play
stories
Dungy yet too about saying that they quit defensively?
Have not played that yet.
We can play that. You want to hear that? It's after the Williams touchdown. Take a listen.
Straight ahead run. Williams powers, spins, and scores. And celebrates.
Bears trying to make something happen. They're going to blitz Roquan Smith, but the line does a good job. They pick it up, trap blocking, and then this is just poor tackling. This is the Bears defense basically giving up here.
That's a pretty damning observation.
This is the Bears defense basically giving up here.
Well, now Nagy denied it, and it'll be interesting.
Well, I mean, listen, I think it's dangerous to say anybody flat out quits, but when guys aren't using proper technique and aren't playing the game the way that they normally play it, at some point you just had the feeling that our own offense has had their foot on our own defense's throat for so long that there would be a point where things would kind of crack a little bit.
Yeah. Mike in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, guys. So I just had two quick points. Kind of just want to talk about Nagy's comments and then kind of talk about the ownership in general. But there's been this consistent theme with Matt Nagy. Kind of, it's almost like he knows what's going to come after a game, and so he has a PR response. And then I don't know if he goes home and gets yelled at his wife or has a bad night of sleep, but then he'll totally contradict what he said the night before. The first thing it was when he said that they wasn't going to tell anyone, you know, if they were going to name anyone as the play caller. And then the next day he says that Lazor's going to do it. Same thing happened yesterday, kind of maybe a little indirect, but he, you know, he kind of said that, no, the defense, you know, I don't think they quit. And then he comes out, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he has something along the lines he said today of have some personal pride, dot, dot, dot. Yesterday was flat out embarrassing. So it's almost like
they don't have any answers, Mike. Like, he doesn't have any answers.
He's out of them.
It's word vomit, and I appreciate that because he's trying to not be like Bill Belichick and give the reporters nothing to use. But then it's like you're just giving them more fuel to like whip on you. And so I like you guys always say, Matt Nagy's probably a guy to get a beer with, not a guy to run your football team. And second off, with the whole ownership thing, I mean, I was listening to, and I'm not a Bears fan, so I don't know exactly how the structure of the team is for the ownership is, but I was listening this morning to Cap. And he was kind of talking about, you know, it's not McCaskey's fault, you know, she's 97 years old. And it's like, well, you know what? Maybe that is part of the problem, that she has probably not any real attachment than other, you know, really, she doesn't probably care about football too much. I'm sure she enjoys it, but I highly doubt she's looking at film with the draft picks and looking at tape from the coaches.
She doesn't need to. I mean, that's not her role, Mike. Her role is, as the owner of the team, is not to be watching film.
No, and I understand that, but she's obviously not, like, from the top of the level of the ownership or below her, they're not getting the right people in. So if they're not bringing in the right people, then who is going to do it if the person at the way top can't even get the first puzzle piece to get the right GM, the right coach? It's just trickles down. And other than the owner, who do you point blame to?
That's the thing. And that's, you got to do your homework now. And I know it's like the chicken or the egg. Well, if George can't find the right decision makers, how's he going to find the right football guy here? But he needs to leave Ted alone. Ted can't be in the interview process anymore. He's not a football guy. And George needs to go on a fact-finding mission. And he needs to talk to as many sports executives who have changed the way they run their organization, the way they've restructured. We have three teams in town that have recently restructured. The Hawks did it at the beginning of the last decade. They've won three championships. The Cubs did it at the beginning of last decade. They've finally won their first World Series. And the Bulls recently did it, where Michael went out and he said, look, I'm giving these new guys autonomy. You need to go out on a fact-finding mission and talk to as many people as possible. Take the good information, keep it. Take the information you don't like, throw it away. But keep talking, and that way you're armed with info and you're ready to go and you're ready to hire the right president who will hire the right general manager, who will draft the right quarterback and hire the right head coach. That's how you do it. You have to.
It's crazy.
You have no other choice.
Also, I have a coaching is like parenting.
Ooh.
Coaching is like parenting. Yes.
I'll share
that analogy on the other side of the break.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, and welcome to everyone on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Very twitchy.
Let me look at you. Because before when my internet went out, I wasn't on the Twitch channel.
No.
There you are. It's all brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. Two Waddles. Wow.
Yeah.
With the headshot of you in the background.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah. All right, so...
Will you not listen?
What is this, like parenting? Coaching is
like parenting in some ways.
Okay.
Like, you know, I've been like a dog on a bone with my disappointment in Matt not adjusting and adapting things to what he has in terms of limitations. Like, if you have a son or a daughter, and you know that son or daughter is more equipped to go to junior college or community college, and you keep thinking that their Princeton material or Harvard material is the problem with your child or is the problem with your parent. Like, you have to understand, you need to have expectations for your child, but you also need to know what their limitations are and adapt expectations to those limitations.
All right, so are you saying that the Chiefs are Harvard here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bears are the College of Lake County.
What I'm saying is that Patrick Mahomes is a 5.5 student on a 4-point scale. He's got the most brilliant essay you've ever seen. He's got a long list of community service work on his resume. He's the perfect candidate for Harvard or Princeton. Right? So having that expectation and turning him loose in an offense that's high-powered and expects a lot is understandable.
Sure. Mitch is commuting to Oakton.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to be mean here, but
no,
like,
I will,
but
I
the
will.
Point
so
is
Nagy
trying to shine it up? Like when I went to Columbia and my dad would be like, yeah, he goes to Columbia. And they're like, oh, smart. And I'm like, no, Columbia College. He goes, no, shut up. It's Columbia.
But
shut
it's
up.
Like it's
you
like
go to Columbia.
My point is you have to know what you have. Like we know that Mitch is limited, right? We know that Mitch is a good athlete and can make some good throws on the run and does some things well. But Mitch is not going to be able to stand back in that pocket that deteriorates quickly on pretty much every pass play and process things and read the whole field. Like, that's just not what he does. So why put him in a position there? Why
it's just
why
unfair
ask him?
Expectations,
that's
right?
That's my point. Like, if I was the coach of this team, and nobody's asking me to be the coach of this team, but I, like, I'm running the ball 35 times. Like, what do the Packers struggle to do defensively, other than everything? Because they're not a great defense. They give him 4.6 yards per carry. Like, you should have, the goal in that
you
game.
You ran a chunk off right away.
Yeah, your goal in that game, you should have come into this game saying what? We're gonna try to make this a 2-hour and 45-minute game. We're going to try to make that clock run, and we're going to shorten the game. Because the last thing we want to do is get into some sort of extended shootout with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So we're going to run the football, and we're going to keep it simple. And I've got a quarterback who hasn't played in 5 weeks, who isn't equipped to cut it loose and run this offense the way that Matt Nagy envisions it. So why don't you ran the football with David Montgomery on the second play, ran 57 yards. You gave it to him the second play. He was probably tired as hell, so maybe he wasn't the guy to give it to in that play. But you did give him to that.
Well,
that
yeah,
you
fine.
Didn't give it back to him until the third drive. Like, you kind of went away from it. I mean, you could die and pulled up the play-by-play. I just don't get it. Like, if I'm the coach of that team, I'm running the hell out of it, even if it's not working. Mitch is I'm cutting the field in half for Mitch. I'm giving him one read, one or two reads, and then that's it.
Right.
He's running the ball on the edge. We're going to boot it every damn time. Like, when I say to you, Mitch gives you a better chance to win than Nick Foles in this, based on what we are faced with right now.
Yeah.
It's not because I think Mitch is a great quarterback. It's because Nick Foles, what makes Nick Foles a good quarterback is he can process things. He can read a defense and he can process things. Well, what happens when you don't have time in the pocket? Well, I've seen better quarterbacks completely collapse under pressure. Then everything that made Nick a better choice completely evaporates because he's got no time. Right. And now his mechanics break down. Now his decision-making is bad, and he's just as inaccurate or more inaccurate than Mitch. So what?
So now we're here, and then they just don't want to help him. Not that Mitch can play.
No,
but they still don't
never
do
said
anything
that.
To help him out. Right.
Right, that's the point. Let's scale it back. Like,
none
short
of them have
the game.
Solutions.
That's my point, Sylvia. It's like And I'm not telling you it's going to equate to a victory because I had the Packers winning this game 27-17. But it just, like, when I watch what's going on, I pull my hair and I'm like, why are you? And then do you realize this is the drive when he threw the interception? When Catherine Tappan came in and said the coach was okay with the interception?
Right.
Okay.
Into triple
this,
coverage,
this,
right?
Yes. This drive starts on the Chicago 21. Mitch short pass to Cole Kmet for 8 yards. Second and two. Mitch passed deep to the middle to Allen Robinson for 20 yards. They're now at their own 49. Cordarrelle Patterson pushed out of bounds for a 5-yard gain. They're at the Green Bay 46. First and they had a penalty. So now it's first and 18. Mitch short pass to Robinson for 16 yards. You're first and 10 at the Green Bay 38, and that's when you're just going to take a willy-nilly shot? Like, at that point, the game is 13-3, and you're saying to us that we were okay. You're on the Green Bay 13. Or, I'm sorry, on the Green Bay 38. You're down 13-3, and that's when you're going to get careless. And dude, that makes no sense to me. It's first and 10. At the very least, your kicker has shown you that he's reliable. at the very least get a few more yards, and now you can kick a field goal, and now you're down 13-6. It's a one-possession game. But no, we're going to take a shot. You know why? Because we predetermined before the game even kicked off, we're going to take a shot at some point. And then Mitch takes a shot into double coverage. That's a ball that you don't take that shot. You're at the Green Bay 38. Like, where is the logic to any of this?
Yeah. 3-1. It's great. It's great way to explain it, Waddle. 312-332-3776.
College of Lake County. Okay. There's nothing
wrong
with it.
Yeah, fine.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
A couple years.
Some of us did maybe have done a tour of duty there.
Listen, yeah, look, I'm not diminishing it.
Done. College is expensive. Get your general studies done there, and then go on to college.
Listen, if you're a Princeton-caliber student, go to Princeton. If you're not, and mom and dad are holding out hope that you're going to get into Princeton, and you got like a 2-3, and you got nothing else on your resume, you smoke pot in the basement, which is fine as well. Okay? But listen, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is if mom and dad are sitting there wringing their hands going, Adam, why aren't you getting into Princeton? I mean, like, that makes no sense. That's a parent problem, not a kid problem.
They're driving us crazy, everybody. 312-332-3776.
You can smoke pot in your basement all you want, but you're not going to get into Princeton more than likely with a 2-3 and a bad ACT score. So we're just going to keep our expectation levels in a reasonable spot. That's all I'm saying.
And that's why he's the best football analyst on the radio
just
station.
Just saying. I don't.
Bears in 2020.
I'm sweating like I stole something right now.
3-3-2-3. Let me look at you on the Twitch channel.
Do I have a pit stain?
It's too far away. I could tell that you got a bad. Oh, look at you with the pit stain.
Do I have a pit stain?
You do. You're wet underneath your armpit.
Well, I'm pissed. Like, I don't normally get pissed, but now I'm pissed. Like, I'm beyond the point of being pissed. Or like, I'm not apathetic, but, like, to me, it's foolish to sit here and get my blood pressure up because it's the same damn thing every week. It's like all of a sudden, oh, my God, I can't believe it. No, they've been doing this poop for forever.
We're
and
both
it,
mad.
It kills me. I mean, I love this team. I love them.
You get more mad in the zoom-in game thing. I get more mad at where they are as an organization. That's my zoom out. Like, I'm basically
right,
to
Pit?
The point during a game where I'm laughing at them. I'm laughing at them now.
My right pit sweats more than my left pit. And, like, I got a river flowing over here. And just like a little stream over here.
I love that you did a study and that you know which pit sweats more and how much.
Well,
more.
I can feel it. I mean, it's not a study. I got a puddle under my right arm and I got just a little damp spot under my left arm.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We're going to get to all of your phone calls. The Bears have already lost the race in the NFC North. Are they losing the race in an offseason battle in the NFL already? We'll tell you what that is coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so the competition this week is Detroit in more ways than one. The Lions come to town. You're just looking for a win. Forget the postseason. You've lost five in a row. But you
good,
wonder
it's
if
a
the
good week. It's a good week, too, isn't it, Sylvie, briefly, for the coach to get hot under the collar and issue ultimatums knowing that the Detroit Lions are rolling into town?
That's who Mitch plays best. To Mitch plays best.
You know what
best.
I'm saying? Like, look, the team responded to the coach.
Yeah.
Like, where was this fire and brimstone before the Packer game coming out of the bye?
Yeah, we'll play that, too, for Matt Nagy in a little bit.
Right, I'm going to go lay
down. But big picture, again, like, big picture-wise, like, are they getting behind the eight ball if they want to make changes? Detroit has already cleaned house. The Jaguars are cleaning house.
Atlanta.
Atlanta has already cleaned house. These are owners who are going to work now, currently, on looking for that front office and coach. And there's a lot of competition out there.
I've heard some people talk recently. There could be as many as, what, eight or more coaching changes this
year?
That's
usually the average is seven or eight. But
eight
like
or nine?
Greeny was going down the list. Maybe more.
Listen, which is really strange considering, like, I always thought that with COVID that and the financial uncertainty, that maybe teams would be reluctant. But we've seen
could be
more.
The opposite.
You're right. I think
when
we've
you
seen
reset
more.
Your budget, it may be the best time to reset everything. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, everyone's doing it. Joseph in Austin, everybody's you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I want to direct my call right to the top. So I'm speaking directly to you, George McCaskey. George, the time for change is now. And I'm not only talking about a coaching or a GM change. I'm talking about a complete rebranding of this organization. Listen, guys, I have a 10-year-old son, and it's sad that the only highlights I can share with him are from 35 years ago on an NFL Films VHS. My son, for the first time ever last night, did not watch the game with me. And you know what? I don't blame him. This is not fun. It's not even close. More importantly, George, if you want to treat this as a business big picture, you're losing the younger generation of fans. My son asked for a Lamar Jackson jersey for Christmas. Let that sink in.
It's a great call, Joseph, and I like the concept of, hey, if we were to, we've done this before where we used to say if we're sending the cassette up to Hallis Hall, what would you say directly to George? I'm with you. We cannot force the McCaskies to sell. We can't do it.
Yeah,
it's their team. They're going to keep it. Okay, so now what? And I've given you my solution on what. Alec in Wakanda, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Alec.
Hey, fellas. So watching that game last night was comparable to having to watch the only woman you've ever loved get seduced by another man. You know, Aaron Rodgers is the Marvin Gaye song. Davante Adams is the expensive bottle of champagne. And Aaron Jones is that sparkling tennis bracelet. And when it comes down to stand up for yourself and win her back, you give her Mitch Trubisky, which is like a handwritten poem about how you like it when her hair smells like lilacs. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, of course, I know Waddle, you talk about how you never wish anybody to get fired, but, you know, Pace and Nagy will have a nice long career as congressman because nobody can talk up a word salad quite like those two.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean,
bring in the heat today. I love it. Alec, great call, too.
And I think, listen, I mean, there's nothing malicious about suggesting that massive change is needed.
No.
Like, I mean, there's, you know,
and it's not just, hey, like, let's fire everyone just for burping it out. It's warranted. When you're out of solutions, I don't want them making the choices for me going into 2021. Can't do it. Can't happen. Jim and Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Sylvie. One of the reasons they're out of solutions is they haven't had a plan. They haven't drafted a quarterback in 6 years beside Mitch, and they have Tyler Bray on their roster, knowing that he's not an NFL quarterback.
Right.
You know, you're at the point that the two guys are struggling, and your third option, well, we ain't going to put him out there.
Well, Jim? I'll give you an example that kind of goes arm in arm with that. They thought that changing the offensive line coach was going to be the solution to their running game being significantly better. Like,
right.
I mean, those are comparable concepts to me. Like, neither one makes a lot of sense.
Here, another thing, Tom. They don't have an offensive tackle, right? But they haven't drafted two in 6 years in, like, the fifth and seventh round.
Right.
And then they wonder why they don't have an offensive tackle. And the other thing, just the last thing. So they don't have a plan. That's why they don't have a solution. Okay? But the other thing that I still don't understand is when they opened up the second half, Cordell Patterson was back at halfback. He was the running back.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's their big adjustment at halftime. More Cordero. Right. When in doubt, more Cordero is what the Nagy playbook calls for, no matter if it's laser or flip or whoever's calling the plays. Thanks for the phone call. Good stuff.
This is they came out of the half. They're trailing 27-10. Mitch passed short right to Mooney. Runs out of bounds 13 yards. Patterson right tackle for 6. Mitch sacked for -3. Mitch sacked for -6. They punt the ball.
Yep.
Where's David Montgomery at?
7 points in the whole third quarter for the year, and they gave the other team seven. And Cordero scored seven on a return. That's it for the Bears all year in 11 games. It's crazy. All right, 2 minutes away, a tradition unlike any other on the Waddle and Sylvie show commences today. We'll continue to take your phone calls and tell you what that is in 2 short minutes.